parents really proud with that stuff. So while these were great aspects of our lives, it also led me to believe that I would only get to Christ and only get to heaven through good works. But I know this isn't true because John 14:6 tells us that the only way to heaven is through Christ Jesus. So in college, I fell away from church. In the fall of my freshman year of college, I was sexually assaulted after being at a house party. It was my first night drinking, and I thought for sure that God had punished me through the sexual assault. When I told my friends about this event, I was told things like, maybe you were too drunk to remember properly what happened, or are you sure you didn't give signs that that's what you wanted? So because of these lies, I began punishing myself for the next 5 years. I believed that good behavior would get me to heaven, and I thought God no longer wanted me to be a part of his kingdom. I began to treat my body and soul in this manner. So in Galatians 5:13, we're told that brothers and sisters were called to be free and not to use this freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly. My boyfriend from church back home and I were still together, and I still saw him as a great man of God. I thought I had cheated on him and confessed this to him almost immediately. For the next 9 months, I experienced emotional abuse and manipulation from him. It was like God was giving me all the punishment I deserved from the bad things I had done, and I began isolating myself and putting up walls. Friends had asked me how I was doing, how we were doing as a couple, and Brooke and others tried to reach out to me. I was ashamed of what was going on, and I hid from my friends. With great help, I broke up with this boyfriend in the spring of my freshman year. I refused to let people close emotionally and disclose how badly I felt after the relationship. My friends pursued me and loved me through it anyways, and I can see how God had put Brooke and other friends in my life at this point to direct me back from him. I could never escape God's presence and never run away from his spirit, just like David tells us in Psalm 139. Even if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Though I couldn't see it then, God showed his loyalty to me in this time. The summer after my freshman year, I went to visit Brooke at her college, Texas A&M Galveston. I was set up with the guy her boyfriend knew, and we went on a double date. At the end of the evening, I was disappointed to find out that Brooke wouldn't actually be staying with me, that she would be staying with her boyfriend, and I would be sent to her place. By this time, I'd already felt far from God and just let men use me for what they wanted. I felt I had no power to say no because they were stronger than me and would get what they wanted regardless, so why try? When Brooke's friend carried on with me, I blamed Brooke. She was the one who didn't come home with me, and I used something that I had allowed to happen as an excuse to be mad at her for the next 2 years. I continued pushing people away who were closest to me instead of talking through conflict with her and growing together. After graduation, I moved to Dallas on my own. I didn't have many friends here, and I knew I needed to build a better community around myself. Brooke and I were talking more regularly when we graduated, and she had found a church in Houston. I started trying to find churches myself and see if I could find a young adult group to get involved in. I'd been calling Brooke and giving her updates on how church finding was going and how making new friends was, and I knew that she had found her boyfriend at her church. I realized looking back that I ultimately was looking for the same thing. I was looking for friends in these churches, and I was looking for ultimately a spouse, but I had lost sight of who Christ was and who I was actually looking for. I went to more than 10 churches in about 9 months and didn't commit to any of them. I'd lost my connection with God and lost my connection to heaven. I didn't know what it meant to be a Christian anymore. In the months leading up to Brooke's passing, she and I had become significantly closer again. In the beginning of 2016 is when I finally began to open up and talked about my sexual assault experience with her. She was the first person to tell me that maybe the sexual assault wasn't my fault. We had learned a lot more about the world by now, and she was a lot closer to God than I was. It was so great to hear that someone else who knew God knew that maybe sometimes God acted out of men's will because of the freedom we're given in Christ, but she knew that I had not lost Christ myself. She asked to come visit on Memorial Day weekend of 2016, but I had told her that the inn was full. I had no room, and I had had people coming to stay with me. Our plan was to get together that summer and hang out. I didn't want her here Memorial Day weekend because I knew she'd ask hard questions. She'd help me deal with my emotions with the sexual assault, and that wasn't something I wanted to talk about. On May 29th of 2016, I woke up to a call from Brooke's mom. It was the Monday of that Memorial Day weekend, and Brooke had passed away Sunday night. This information shook me to the core, and I was no way prepared for what came next. As one of her closer friends, her mom had asked me to call and inform others. Brooke was the type of friend who held on to people for long times, and I had a long list of calls to make. At 23 years old, I never thought I'd have to plan my best friend's funeral. I was trying to finish up my first year teaching and get grades in order. I was packing to go to Disney World to celebrate my high school sister's graduation, and I was preparing to learn a new subject to teach for the following school year. I was in no way emotionally or physically prepared for what to mourn the loss of a friend. Though I wasn't turning to God at the time, He put so many people in my life to get me through this time. I had a community of coworkers to finish up my last days of grades, a community of friends packing and rearranging my flights and vacations, and people just to make sure I got home and calling every day to check on me before going to Houston. God was taking care of me in so many areas of my life that I could begin to grieve. Looking back on the time I spent getting funeral arrangements ready, I was blessed to be reconnected with so many old friends. People who had encouraged me in my life walking with God. Friends that had pursued me while I was in college and partying, but I ignored them at the time. I was given grace in those friendships, and as people came around me and supported each other in the face of loss. I spent the summer after the funeral crying when I was alone because I felt too young and to deal with such a large area of grief. I was living by myself, and the grieving process was a heavy and exhausting one. I was no longer even trying to go to church. I was so mad at God. I would often scream in my car, and I felt that God had left me on purpose. Once again, I felt I was being punished for my time away from Him and all the partying I had participated in. Since turning to Christ, I've learned that God has given me all my emotions, and He says to be angry, yet do not sin, in Ephesians 2:6. I've also learned and repeated to myself many times that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, according to Romans 8:1. God wasn't mad at me or punishing me. He was letting me make my own decisions, and I was the one choosing to run. In August of that year, one of my friends suggested I come to the Porch at Watermark, a young adult ministry on Tuesday nights. I told her I wasn't interested, and I hadn't stepped foot in a church since Brooke's funeral, so I no longer had any desire to know God. Being a good friend, she didn't take no for an answer and dragged me to Watermark anyways. I'm not sure what was actually taught that night, but I remember sitting there trying not to cry, or be audibly sobbing at least. For the first time in a long time, I could feel God's presence. I could hear Him in my heart saying He also grieved for Brooke. I had started coming to Watermark more regularly and wanted to make this my church home. After attending the Porch a few times, I realized I needed a Savior as well. Someone who could help shoulder the weight and the pain, and someone who would be there for me always. I began looking to become a member at Watermark and realized that the membership process would be a tough one. I didn't quite understand the concept of grace and couldn't believe that all it took was confessing my sins to Jesus and believing in my heart that He was Lord. And Romans 9:10 tells us that we will be accepted by Christ. I also heard about Grief Share by now and knew that it was a ministry I needed. At the time, I was not involved in community and coming to church by myself. I came on Tuesday nights for Grief Share a few times, but never made it in the building in the fall of 2016. I was too young to be going through this something this big, so I often cried in my car, talked to God, and then drove home. Come spring of 2017, I'd been put in a community group. These women have lifted me up and gave me the courage to deal with my grief. There are a few nights where the girls would come sit in my car with me and then walk me inside because they knew that I had feelings that God could heal. During this time, I learned about God's love and pursuit of my heart and the hard times I was experiencing through the Grief Share women and through my community group. Looking back, I can see many people God placed in my life to guide me back to Him. I was stubborn and chose not to listen for so many years, but I was brought to Bible studies while I was in college, engaged in miscellaneous religious conversations, and my friends would just casually bring up Christ when they thought about it. God was someone I was familiar with when I left school, but not someone I regularly turned to anymore. I kept my Christian friends at arm's length to avoid having to deal with all the emotions and having to deal with the partying I was doing on the side. I didn't see the grace I was given despite good works through Ephesians 2:8-9. As I was going through Grief Share, I was processing a lot of guilt. I had been playing the what-if game for months. What if Brooke were actually here with me in Dallas on Memorial Day weekend? Then I also felt guilt for pushing her out of my life for those 2 years in college. I realized too late that shutting people out was not a solution to strengthen a relationship. Many came around me and reminded me that God had already numbered our days. As Psalm 139:16 states, all the days were ordained for me and were written in your book before one of them came to be. He knew when Brooke was leaving this earth, long before she ever set foot on it. Job 14:5 reminds us that a person's days are determined. You have set limits on her numbers and months, but remember that we cannot exceed the days. Sitting in guilt or blaming myself will not bring back my friend. So I trusted God with this realization and knowing he has a plan to do all things for our good. To those of you attending for the first time tonight, thank you and welcome for coming to church. My whole life, I was taught the story of how God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross to pay for our sins, as John 3:16 tells us. Though as my life began to unravel faster during this time, I finally began to understand why I needed Jesus. I needed the Savior to bury my sins and shoulder the emotional weight so I could keep moving in my day-to-day life. Through my journey of rebirth in Christ in the past year and a half, I've been able to re-examine my life through the lens of the Bible. I have seen where God held me and cared for me. I can see areas where I was forgiven when I didn't deserve to be. And I've been shown grace and compassion by those around me and his love for me. The story God has given me is still being written, but in the light of Christ and out of the shadows the world creates around me. I have learned that no sins or struggles are too big for God's mercy and his plan is good for my life. While he says there will be troubles and hardships ahead, I put my faith in a God whose word has proven true in all areas of my life. Thank you so much for listening.